Well, the Lord gives us a lot to chew on, doesn't he?
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for the meat of thought and the word that has been presented. And each evening it's a pleasure to join with you in this. I would like to take a moment and recognize our guest. We do have guests with us this evening. You're welcome. And we thank you for your presence with us. We pray that this time is as much a blessing for you as it has been for us. And I'd also like to especially recognize the faculty that are here. We've got a great number of our faculty and staff, and I appreciate them. God bless you. You know, their schedules are no less complicated than ours, and they can afford the time no more easily than we can. And I really do appreciate that. God bless you for your presence. That's an encouragement. Well, God is good, and God's brought us the very best, and I'm pleased again to present our dear brother Morris Plotz Buonatembo. Would you come?
Thank you for your love and fellowship, your kindness. What a joy it is to be here with you wonderful people, and I sincerely say that. Before I forget it, and I have forgotten it before, and before I forget it again, I have with me, in case anyone might be remotely interested, I have 5 copies of the book Jimmy Swaggart published about our work in Africa. The name of the book is Buonatembo, and is written by Robert Paul Lamb. And the day may possibly come when you will be 9,000 miles from Kmart. And some things in this book might be of fascinating interest to you. I buy them from Jimmy, and it's a hardback book, and it's a lovely, well-bound book with beautiful artwork, and it sells for $5, and I've got 5 left. Jimmy Swaggart is sold out completely, and so anybody that's interested, just see me at the close of the service. I want to say that last night, I was personally thrilled and blessed by the great ministry of our dear brother Makish. What I thought was so wonderful about his ministry last night was the fact that he was leveling with you wonderful kids. I say kids, when you get to be almost 80, that looks like they got kids in the police department and kids in the schoolroom, and you just wonder how many young folks there are in the world when you get along in years. Thank God for every one of them too, praise God. But I was just so thrilled at the way he challenged you, and I loved the thought that he kept bringing to you about the crucifixion, the taking up of the cross, dying to self, our own plans, our own ambitions, our own wishes, our own ways, to become what God wants us to be. And last night and this morning, he certainly brought us just exactly what we needed, and I thank God for it, and I thank our brother for it. Praise God. And one thing I want to do tonight is to follow the lead of our brother and tell you that we shall, by the grace of God tonight, look upon the fields and lift up our eyes, and we will not say there are yet 4 months to harvest.
Amen.
The harvest is now.
Praise.
And I want to say that in the Bible is a very beautiful text that Jesus himself gave to us, a word that he gave to us that I would like for my golden text. Chapter 13 of the book of St. Mark's Gospel and the 34th verse. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and note, to every man his work. You have a work, I have a work, and not one of us have the same work. You are unique in all the universe, to every man his work. Beautiful golden text for what God has laid upon me for the evening service. Tonight I felt led of the Lord after praying so much today. I felt led of God that I must do it. Take you with me to the jungles of Africa. Get in my Land Rover with me, if you please. Those great big 8-ply tires and heavy-duty springs do look ominous, don't they? On the rack on top, those great big jerry cans full of gasoline and water, and 3 spare tires, and by the way, 8-ply tires. We're also taking with us tonight a great big 125-foot-long steel rope cable wound up and a great big heavy-duty hand winch. I want you to go with me tonight to the jungle, and we must go the right way. By the way, I have a beautiful, and shall I say, a marvelous example set before us in the Word of God for just such as I feel God wants me to do tonight. Why, Paul and Barnabas returned from that great missionary thrust and came back to the sending church at Antioch. And it was there that they declared to the church what great things God had done. In opening the hearts of the Gentiles and bringing them into the faith, praise God. And whenever you see the word Gentiles, just translated heathen, that's exactly what the term means in the original tongue. And they testified, and Paul was not boasting. Barnabas was not prossing about on the platform saying, just look me over and see what a great fellow I am. It was God that was the hero. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hero of everything that's done of eternal worth. If it's worth anything and worth eternal, of eternal worth, then God did it by his Spirit through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let no flesh glory in his presence. To him be all praise, glory, and honor forever. But tonight I must share with you, and you must go with me, please, to the jungle of Africa. And the Apostle Paul, remember, in that vision in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, saw the Macedonian in the night vision standing, come over and help us. And one of the most beautiful things that we see is Paul obeyed that vision with Silas, Timothy, and others, and Luke finally joining the party. Great, vast numbers of people were swept into the kingdom of God, which leads me to say, never, never treat the vision of God lightly, because over there on the other side of that vision, somebody's waiting for you to come. Again, every man his work. My story goes back a few years. We were building the evangelistic center in Tehran, Iran, which God has so signally blessed. Young folks, I want to tell you that I was concerned when I saw the end of our project coming up, and I wanted to be sure that I knew what God's next plan and next project was. I wanted to be able to hit the deck running without the loss of a day. So I began to pray about several months before we finished our project, and my prayer was, oh God, what is it that you want us to do next? Where shall we go? What shall we do? What is thy will? What is thy plan? And you'll never, never wrong in praying in that way. Strangely enough, though God has said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. Strangely enough, there was no answer to my prayer all the month of June that year, nor the month of July, nor August, nor September. October had come, and though I prayed so earnestly, no answer. How strange, how out of God it seemed to me. God, what next? What do you want me to do when I finished with this work? What is it next, O Lord? And finally, it was now Christmas of that particular year, a few years ago. We were having a wonderful Christmas dinner. My wife is a great cook, and I do have the tonnage to prove that, don't I? The family was home on one of our rare occasions when the kids were in, and our family together, but a meeting in Missouri necessitated my leaving the Christmas festivities after dinner, making my way to Missouri for my next meeting. All Christmas afternoon that day, that Christmas, I drove through the north woods of Louisiana, now approaching, coming close to the northern part, the Arkansas border. All of a sudden, it was now dark and the deep shadows had fallen, and I was driving now in the night, worshiping the Lord and praying as I went alone. And all of a sudden, the devil tried to kill me. I'll never know what it was, but the gas pedal seemed to pull right down to the floorboard and stick, and the lights went out. I screamed, "Jesus, help me!" And I'm happy to tell you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Hallelujah. The lights came back on. The gas pedal was released. I'll never know what happened. I do know this, that I drove a little slower after that incident. And then it happened. For months there had been no answer to my prayer. Now the Lord appears. Oh, what a glorious revelation as he burst in upon my soul. And while there was no throne to be seen, no scepter, but there was my risen Lord in Christ in a revelation of himself to my heart, greater than anything I'd ever seen and known since the night he baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he spoke words to me then that I had been longing to hear. "When you're finished in Iran," said the Lord Jesus, "I want you to go back to Africa. I want you to go back across the Kasego River. And I want you to tell those people about me, Ilolo, and other places." And you know, my friends, I was stricken with fear. I knew all about the Kasego River. I knew very much about the region called Powaga across the Kasego River. Thousands of square miles with no church, no civilization, no roads, no gas station, no police stations, no stores, nothing, friends, but primitive people living in their huts with spears and clubs and great big knives called pangas, elephants roaming around and hippos in the water and crocodiles snapping in the rivers and the creeks and baboons shinning up and down the trees, miles and miles and miles from anywhere and everywhere. Kasego River, how well I remembered that Anglican bishop that had spoken to me when I was building churches in the Gogo tribe in Tanzania. And this bishop said, "There's a place across this Kasego River over here where thousands of people live in their towns and towns and towns, and no church has gone in there. Nobody has gone in there with the gospel." And he said, "We can't get our men to go," said this Anglican bishop. "Why don't you Assemblies of God fellows go?" I smiled at what I guess was a backhanded compliment, as much as to say that Anglican priests were not expendable, but Assemblies of God ministers were a dime a dozen. So I smiled, thanked him. And now it wasn't an Anglican bishop that was saying to me with a smile, "Why don't you fellows go?" But it was my risen Lord, to whom I belong, his by purchase, by creation, by purchase and by commitment. And a threefold cord is not easily broken, as the word of God declares. There's only one thing a loved slave of Christ can say to his master that's proper. And I'm happy to tell you I said it through my tears as I drove down that road, laughing and shouting, talking in tongues and prophesying to myself. Don't ask me chapter and verse on that. I said, "I will, God, I will. I'll go. Lord, I'll go to that Kasego country. I'll do it, Lord." And God's blessing fell upon my heart as I promised him I'd do this that he told me to do, to every man his work. I came to your city of Springfield. It was necessary for me to go to the missions department. J. Philip Hogan greeted me as I came in the door into his office, ushered in by the secretary. He said, "What's God talking to you about, Brother Plotz?" I rolled a map out in front of him that had been made by the Tanzania government, great big aerial survey map of the whole region of Powaga with its many, many rivers and towns, but no roads. Savage and primitive and remote. And I said, "Brother Hogan, God's called me to take the gospel to these people." He looked at the map for a while, and then he looked up at me, and he said, Brother Plotz, he said, that's a job for a young man. But if you want it, you can have it. And I said, I want it. And he said, you're appointed. I never will forget, after finishing the evangelistic center in Tehran, I immediately started on itineration for the Pawaga project of taking the gospel to those savage people that had never heard about Jesus, and no churches, no Bibles, no God. And they lay upon my heart the great burden of the Lord. But you know, I must tell you that I was frightened. I am, incidentally, a certified devout card-carrying coward. Please never accuse me falsely of being brave. I'm not. I have an imagination that's very, very, very vivid, and I can get scared at more things per square minute than you can shake a stick at. And I must tell you that the devil didn't help me any either in my fears when I would wake up in the morning, morning after morning, as I remember it, after I promised God I would go, at some unearthly hour, like 4 or 5 in the morning. It's bad enough to be awakened by somebody decent at an hour like that, but to have the devil wake you up and stand at your bedside and begin to harass your soul and ask such questions as this, and it was almost like an audible voice, so you're going to Pawaga, so you're going to the Kasigo country. What'll you do if you get sick out there, 800 miles from the hospital, as we had to go the road we had to go? No other missionary to go with me. None of my African preacher friends would go as far as I knew. I must go alone. What'll you do if you get out there and get sick? And in my vivid imagination, I could see myself doubled over with appendicitis and peritonitis setting in 800 miles from help in the jungles of Pawaga. I can laugh about it now and smile about it now, but I tell you that it was no smiling matter in those early morning hours when the terror would strike me of getting sick all alone, hundreds and hundreds of miles from any help in the jungles of Tanzania. What if you break your leg? And I could see this big number 16 size shoe dangling helplessly on the end of a broken leg. Couldn't put it on my brake pedal in my Land Rover or my gas pedal. Nobody to drive for me, hundreds and hundreds of miles from help. Ladies and gentlemen, I was frightened, but I've got news for you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that that's exactly what happened. Let me please take you to one of the things that happened along the line of the Spirit's raising up a standard against the enemy. I was in a missions convention shortly after some harrowing experiences that I've related to you. And it was a convention, I'm not sure, Brother Lednick, when it was, I was with you or not. You will remember probably. 9 churches of the Little Rock area were there and were having convention, missionary convention, missionaries, district officials, and church officials, and pastors. It was a wonderful occasion. We were having a Saturday night banquet in one of the restaurants of the motels there. And I'll never will forget, across the table from me sat Charlie Plunkett. You remember Charlie? 325 pounds, great big he-man. And Charlie and I were talking amiably about various spiritual things. And I began to tell him about my call to the wild jungles of Pawaga in far off Tanzania. I looked up and I saw big old tears rolling out of Charlie's eyes, streaking down his cheeks and dropping on his trousers. And in a trice, Charlie Plunkett was on his feet and began to prophesy to me right across the table till the very dishes rattled. Yea, thus saith the Lord, my son, you're going to that wild place where the gospel has never gone. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in danger when you get sick. I'm going to heal you. Now, I'm praising God for that, but at that time, it seems to me that it struck me from another angle. The devil had been talking to me about that sick business, now God's talking to me about it. But he says, when you get sick, I'm going to heal you, and can I stop just long enough to put my hand up to heaven to call him to witness? That he did exactly that every single time. Bless his name. Then the next prophecy that God sent to cheer my heart as I was preparing to go to Puwaga, to that place where my missionary friends begged me not to go. My family didn't want me to go. My wife didn't want me to go. The missionary said, "You get killed out there. It's too dangerous out there." And God had called, and there was nothing to do but straight ahead. To every man his work. And at Springdale, Arkansas, I told them of my burden for Puwaga. And after a wonderful service, I was a guest at a lovely home. And the dear sister cooked a nice Sunday dinner. Arkansas dinners are great dinners, you know. And her husband sitting across the table from me to the right, and she straight across the table. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and here was our dear sister, our kindly hostess, tears rolling down her cheeks. And she said, "Brother, God has given me a word for you. Please, sister, tell me what it is." And she said, "The Lord tells me to tell you, Brother Plotz, to not be afraid to go into that wild place where you're going. Because when you get there, you will find an angel behind every bush." And can I tell you, young people, tonight, that's exactly how I found it when I got to that wild place that I was so frightened about. I found angels behind bushes everywhere. And sometimes I wonder if the rank weren't archangels. So great was the presence of him who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let me trouble you with one more prophecy. There are others, but one more. Anchorage, Alaska, my friend Dick Benjamin has a great church at Abbott Loop. And I'll never forget, I'd preached that night to a full church and told them that God had called me to the field, back to Africa, back to the wilds of Tanzania, across the Kasego, into Puwaga. And when I finished my message that night and God so wonderfully anointed, the pastor jumped to his feet, said, "Let's help this man to go." And the brethren were in the aisles in short time with the offering bags to receive an offering to help me to go to the Puwaga jungle. When all of a sudden the offering was hindered and stopped and the men stood in the aisles motionless, one of the brethren of the church, one of the board members, trusted and loved by everyone, Tom Edmonds, jumped to his feet and there on the back row began to sob like his heart would break and prophesied over the heads of all the people to me on the platform, "Yea, thus saith the Lord, my son, you're going to that wild place where the gospel has never gone. You're going to be in trouble, saith the Lord, but I'm going to help you, and I will bring you back again to your own land with joy. You will be amazed, saith the Lord, how I will go before you and open the doors, and how I will open the hearts of the people. And I will be with you, saith the Lord, and I will bless you. But my son, you don't have the plan. I will show you my plan, saith the Lord, and when I show you my plan, you won't like it." How's that for an ego prophecy? And I guess I must be carnal, because if memory serves me aright, my first thought was, there goes my offering. What church is going to give a missionary an offering when one of the trusted board members of the church, preaching or prophesying in the spirit, says that you do not have the plan, this missionary doesn't have the plan, and moreover, when God shows him, he won't like it. But you know, it didn't hinder a thing. In those days, $1,000 was a lot of money. And they laid $1,300 down on the communion table. And Sister Plotz and I left that night puzzled beyond words. What could those strange words mean? You're going to that wild place where the gospel has never gone. You'll be in trouble. You'll be in danger. Your life will be in jeopardy, but I'll bring you back again to your own land with joy. You'll be amazed how I'll open the doors before you and how I'll open the hearts of the people, but you don't have the plan. And when I show you my plan, you won't like it. It took me almost 2 years to find out what the prophecy meant. It'll take you 20 minutes if that's fair enough. And now the budget had been raised. My wife and I were back in Africa, not that she could go with me to that wild jungle outpost, but she could stay with my daughter in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, missionaries in Tanzania, East Africa at that time, and I could go to the jungle. Now the days of language school were over, week after week, all day long, month after month, learning to speak the Kiswahili language perfectly and correctly and grammatically. Mimi nasema Kiswahili. Nataka kuhubiri mjili matakatifu pamoja na roho matakatifu. Bwana asifiwe sana. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I was just saying some of the Swahili that I sweated out and learned to speak at the language school. Now language school was over. The day had come when I should put my feet upon the soil where God spoke to me to go Christmas night a year and a half or so before. Wasn't that I dallied, it was to finish the work God had given me to do, raise the budget, go to school, and now the time had come to go into the Powaga jungle. I was delighted when the day came that a great, big, handsome African preacher, bigger than I am, hands as big as boxing gloves, and his feet will not discuss, decided he would go with me, and I was grateful to have a bodyguard of such proportions. He got with me in the car, and we left the last outpost of civilization, started down into the Rift Valley, down the twisty, turny roads out there in the forests, down, 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 lower, 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 into that canyon called the Rift Valley. Rivers coming up, and then we would stop and look and then ford our way across the river and then again and on and on, hour by hour. Every now and then we'd say, where are we? As we'd stop and ask somebody, and now those people were coming out and they were looking at us. Some had their spears there and they were looking at us through the bushes wondering what we were doing there. And after some hours, we finally crossed the last river, the Itali River, as it was called. And we rolled into a mud hut village of scrofulous mud huts, to tell you the truth. And as we rolled into that village in front of what we'll call the little general store, a longish mud building, a great big crowd of people rushed up, coming from every side, looking at me, gawking and gaping and laughing and pointing. After all, don't forget, I was in a strange, strange place, and they never see the likes of me out there. And after all, I was born ugly as well as ignorant. And I can't blame those Africans for looking at me and laughing and thinking I was the funniest thing they'd ever seen. But I was there on business for God, funny or no. And never will I forget it. The place I so much feared, where I was told I would be killed or beaten up or driven out. Let me tell you the first words I heard in Powaga. Out of the little general store, if you call that longish mud building that, where there were all kinds of undefinable oddments for sale, and many of them smelled strangely. But out of that little general store came a man, neither black nor white, but brown, kinky black hair, smiling from ear to ear. Beside him was a little girl, big black eyes, and if you please, kinky black hair. Rows of shining teeth, beautiful, dirty as a pig, but beautiful in her 4 years, little Salome, the daughter of Salim, the Arab merchant who ran the little general store in that far-off outpost of Kimande, Tanzania. He came out with a little girl, both of them smiling, and he said the first words I heard in Powaga, please, what can I do for you? Hallelujah. Where is the chief? And they said, he's standing right there. And there was a long geared fellow standing there with a little Muslim prayer hat on his head and a long white robe. And I said, are you the chief? He said, I am. I said, I have come thousands of miles to help you. Where can I find a piece of ground that can build a little house to live here? I want to teach you good things about God. How much will it cost? And the chief looked up at me and this crowd milling all around about us. The chief said, cost, it'll cost you nothing. Come with me. And when you're 9,000 miles away from home and the chief says, come with me, you come with him. And we made our way with him down to the Chamnara River, a quarter mile away. while the crowd followed. There we stood on the banks of the Chamnara River, the water babbling at our feet. A beautiful, shady, Edenic bower, if you please. There those beautiful tropical birds were flitting from branch to branch with their strange calls. Monkeys leaping from limb to limb, shinning down the long tree trunks and peeking out from the back of the trees. And the old chief said, "This is a nice place. You can have this. It'll cost you nothing. I will have the men of the village come and clean it up for you." Ladies and gentlemen, when 30 days later we moved our stuff in trucks to build my house there in the Powaga jungles, hundreds of miles from anywhere, it was as neat and tidy as any picnic grounds. I was finding angels behind bushes everywhere. Glory be to God. I built my house. I want you to pay me a visit, please, won't you? Please be careful when you open the door. Shut it quickly. I don't want any snakes in the house. We have all kinds of snakes, green mambas, black mambas, and of course there is the inevitable cobra, and then sometimes a python. Many snakes out in that Powaga jungle. But you'll be careful, won't you? Shut the door quickly. And did you notice the sign that was right by the door in my house? I had it made in Nairobi, great big letters, and it said, "Man-Eater's Lodge." The reason for that is because across the river, some lions had eaten a couple of men. And they found half of one, and they found the hands and the feet of another. And I thought it would be perfectly in order to name my camp Man-Eater's Lodge in honor of those man-eating lions across the river. And so I built my house there. It wasn't much of a house, only 20 feet long and about 12 feet wide. But nevertheless, notice there's screen wire on those windows. I found some, believe me or not, in Nairobi. And thank heaven for that screen wire. Because East Africa is the bug capital of the universe. And every kind of a spitting, piercing, biting bug that you can imagine lives in East Africa. The kind that crawl, and the kind that stab, and the kind that hiss, and the kind that spit, the kind that get on your head and leave a lump about the size of a marble. All kinds, they have all kinds, believe me. I saw one fly into my house one night, had everything on but a license plate, side lights and all. So to keep out all those bugs, thank God for that lovely screen wire. And then back of the screen wire is heavy-duty wire mesh, number 13 gauge. Thank the Lord for that, because so many hyenas there, those rascals. Well, I guess they're the garbage cans, really, the four-legged garbage cans and cleanup system of the jungle. But they have a great big head, their sloping bodies, their hind legs are smaller than the front legs, and there they are, great big heads, bite a cow's leg in two, oftentimes attack people, tear them to pieces. And so to keep the hyenas out, thank you, Jesus, for that heavy-duty wire mesh that I was able to buy and take out there in the truck and put on my house. And you are shocked, aren't you, as you come in, as you look over in the corner, and there is a foam mattress. What, you say, a missionary and a foam mattress bed? Why, I thought you missionaries are supposed to suffer. Well, now look, you really won't feel badly if I tell you that that foam mattress bed was the gift of those darlings. You see, I'll be 80 just not too many months, and I can call the WMs darlings and nobody raises an eyebrow. And they are darlings, and I thank God for them. The Louisiana District WMs, bless their darling hearts, bought that foam mattress bed, and we shipped it out from Sears and Roebuck Lake Charles, and it got to that jungle outpost, and oh, thank God for it. Covers and pillows and sheets and towels, and come with me to the pantry, and there, row upon row of canned meats, WMs of the Louisiana District, and below that, can upon can of delectable star-kissed tuna fish. Mamma mia, I never dreamed it's going to have it so good out there, praise God. Glory to God, glory to God. The gift of the Westwego, Louisiana missionettes. Oh, well, there was my kerosene stove there, and my kerosene lamp, and my bottle gas burner, and my water filter, because the nearest drinking water was 47 miles away, and then we had to boil it and filter it. My home in the jungle, man enters lodge. And as I had closed my eyes at night and lie down in that bed so far from home, alone out in that jungle fastness, I'll never forget the sweetness of God's presence. In the distance, tom-toms beating sometimes all the night long. Perhaps if you listen intently, you can hear a lion roar across the river, perhaps elephant's trumpet, or hyenas howl that weird, maniacal howl of theirs. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no place in all this world like the sweet will of God. There the Shekinah glory dwells. There angels do battle for you. There the manna falls, praise God. And there's fellowship with him who is the greatest friend that a man could ever have. Our wonderful God, our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The jungles of Puwaga, where God had called me. At last, one of my friends decided he was coming out to help me, and Absalom was his name, an African of the Wakusa tribe. And I'll never forget how glad I was to have my beloved brother that used to help me build churches in the Gogo tribe. We built 15 there among the Gogo people. Now he joins me, and how glad I was. The day comes now when our house is ready, building is finished, and now we must go into the deeps of the Puwaga jungles for the work God has called us to do.